33, and we're going to spend some time this morning in the Word before we send you off so you can get baptized outside in the rain. We could have just cut a hole in the ceiling over there this morning and that would have worked. Exodus chapter 33. Well, we're finishing this morning a series I've been teaching on the goodness of God. So if you've been with me, you know what to say. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. It's who He is. We've been centering our hearts, centering our time in the Word, focusing on the reality that our God is a good God. And if you have a picture of a God who is anything but good, you have an incorrect picture of God. Yeah, anybody here ever use an Etch-a-Sketch? You know, you draw on it, and how do you get rid of the picture? You shake it. Some of us need to shake up our Etch-a-Sketch in the picture that we have of God because we've got it wrong. He's a good God. God only knows how to do good things. He only knows how to be a good God. He only knows how to think good thoughts towards you. That's the only kind of God that He is. And we're going to be encountering something here in Exodus 33 that I've taught through this passage before, but if you've read the Bible, you understand how this works, that you read through the Bible, and then you read through the same passage again, and there's something all new there for you to find and discover. And so in Exodus chapter 33, what we meet up with Moses, and what has happened up to this point is that Moses has just been up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments from God and receiving all sorts of different instructions for the Israelites. And as Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights with God, the Israelites start losing their patience and they start wondering if Moses is ever going to come back down. And so they don't know what to do with themselves. See, the Israelites were used to worshiping. They were worshipers. And so when they didn't have many instructions from Moses and they didn't have the presence of God coming down from the mountain, they wanted something to worship. And so they asked Moses, his brother Aaron, to make a golden calf. They said, make us an idol that we can worship. And so they started bowing down to this golden calf while Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments from God. And so God tells Moses, he says, listen, I've promised you and your fathers that you're going to go into the promised land. There's this land that I have dedicated for you. I've promised that it's going to be a place for you to live, for you to have and build a home, build your lives together. I am going to lead you into this land, and I'm going to send an angel to go so that all of your enemies will be pushed out. All the inhabitants of the land will be sent fleeing from this land because it's yours. I've told you it's going to be yours. But here's the thing. I'm not coming with you. Because if I go with you, God says, I will consume you because of your evil, wicked lives. You continue to turn and worship other gods. Now, if you read through the story, you think, how can God be a good God? Pastor Tim, you're saying that God's a good God, and yet he's saying that he's going to consume his own people. Here's the thing. God is not going to consume his people because he loses his temper. You know that God doesn't have anger problems? He doesn't need to go to anger management classes. God doesn't have a bad temper. He says that he would consume the people because God's goodness, God's holiness is more powerful than any wickedness. And so to put God's good presence in the presence of that which is evil, he says, listen, if I go with you, my goodness has overcome you, and you're not going to be able to survive. You're going to die. And so I'm going to send you to ahead, but I'm not going to come with you. And what we're going to read this morning is an account of how Moses responds to God. And the title of my message this morning is Pursuing the Goodness of God. We need to become a people who pursue the goodness of God. Not just hear it and go, oh yeah, I heard that God's a good God, but to actually pursue it and to pursue the good things that God wants to do in your life. See, if you want something bad enough, you pursue it, don't you? That's how you got that ring on your finger. That's how you met your husband or your wife, right? You wanted something bad enough, and so you pursued that relationship. It's how you got your job. It's how you got your promotion. When you have a desire in your heart for something, you'll pursue it. You'll make it a priority. And so we want to make it our priority to pursue our God. So Exodus chapter 33, and we'll pick up in verse 7. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out of the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. So this is a whole community event. Everybody's watching Moses go from where he is into this tent of meeting. Everyone's attention is there. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. I want you to notice the kind of relationship that Moses had with God. He set up a tent. He named the tent, "This is where I meet with God. I'm going to call it the tent of meeting." He had such a reverence and appreciation for the presence of God. And as he went there, he must have instilled this in the people. Maybe some of this happened naturally, but you see, the whole community is involved in this. They're all watch as Moses goes into this meeting place. And as Moses goes in and the pillar of cloud comes, which is a proof of the manifestation of God's presence, everybody began to worship. It's interesting, only one person was in the presence of God, but everybody was involved in worshiping. And so as Moses is there, he has this face-to-face meeting with God, and you want to remember that, face-to-face meeting. And this is what Moses said, verse 12. Moses said this, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I might know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." Moses is saying, "God, I want to have a little chat. See, you say that I have found favor in your sight, and yet you're sending me with somebody into this land that I don't even know. You're just sending an angel." Now, Moses could have responded by saying, "Thank you so much, God. Thank you for sending us into the promised land. You've promised us this land. I thank you that you're not going to hold our sins against us." I mean, think about this. God is still letting them go into the promised land after they were worshiping a golden calf. That's a reflection of God's goodness, wouldn't you say? He's being good to them right here. And Moses, he says, "That's not enough. I'm going to pursue more of your goodness. Yeah, I understand that this is still you being good to me, but I want more of your goodness." See, most of us would be tempted to say, just, "Thank you, see you later, God. Thank you, I appreciate that you're sending me into the promised land. Thank you, God, that you've given me this job, this relationship, this opportunity. If you're not going to come with me, that's okay, I'll see you later." And how many of us would be content to say, "You know what, we're just going to keep going"? But Moses said, "Hold on a second here, God. If I've found favor in your sight, I'm not happy with you not coming with us." Verse 14, this is how the Lord responds. He says this, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Moses understood something here that a lot of us forget. We forget what it is that makes us distinct from the rest of the world. And sometimes we start to think that the things that makes us distinct from the rest of the world are the clothes that we wear or the kind of music that we listen to or all sorts of exterior things. Moses understood something. You know the difference between the church and the world? It's my presence. The difference between someone who's following after God and someone who isn't is God's presence in their life. It's God's presence at work in your life, working all around you. And if we're not careful, we'll start distinguishing ourselves from the world by all sorts of incorrect things. When Moses understood something, listen, if I don't have God's presence, I'm nothing. I can go into the best land there is. I could go into the best property. I could live in the most blessed house. But if God's not there, it's nothing. The thing that separates us from the world is the presence of God. And so God says this, God, if you're not going to go to the promised land, then neither am I. If you're not going, I'm not going. I want us this morning to cultivate that kind of a heart. God, if you're not going into this relationship, I know I want to pursue this relationship, but if you're not going to go into this relationship, neither am I. God, if you're not going to go with me to this new job, neither am I. I'm not going to take it. Salary's bigger. Looks like a great opportunity. But God, if you are not in this, I am not in this. I'm not going to go where you're not going. God, if you're not going to go watch this movie with me, then I'm not going to go either. I just lost half of us right now, didn't I? It's like, yeah, Tim, you know what? You can go see that movie, but, and I'll send an angel with you, and he'll keep you safe, and you won't get hurt or mugged. You know, I'll send an angel with you. That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? I'll send an angel with you. You want to go ahead and do that, but I'm not coming with you. God, if you won't go with me, then I'm not going to go. Because I want your presence. I want your presence. Now Moses here, he does something that I think a lot of us miss. He's bold with God. You know, God has already made it very clear that he's not going with them. I'm not going with you. I'm going to send you an angel. This is the deal. Now most of us would respond by saying, well, hey, this is God. Who am I to argue with God? So I guess we'll just have to settle with life in the promised land without God, because he said he's not going to come with us. But Moses says, I want more. It's not good enough. If you're not going, I'm not going. I want your presence. Sometimes I wonder if God sometimes says no just to see if we'll ask again. Sometimes I wonder if God is just waiting for us to say, God, I'm not settling for this. I want more. How many times you pray for something and you feel maybe that God has said no, or that your circumstances have shown you that God has said no, and you just pack up and give up? You know, God, I'm struggling right now with the sickness. I pray that you heal me. Oh, I didn't get healed within 24 hours. It must not be God's will. And we walk away and think, well, I've discovered God's will because he didn't answer my prayer. I believe that so many times God is just waiting to see if we're going to press in a little bit deeper. Are you going to press in a little bit deeper? Or are you going to settle with where you're at? Well, where do we go from here? Verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And this is what I want to get to this morning. Verse 18. Listen to what Moses says. Moses says this, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God responds, verse 19, he says, I will make all of my, everybody say that next word, goodness. This is what I never saw before, and this is why we're studying this morning. I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said this is interesting, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. There's a lot to dig around in here. Let me just start with the apparent contradiction. Didn't we read earlier that God met Moses face to face? Same chapter. Moses went into the tent of meeting and had a face to face encounter with God. You keep reading the story, and God says, you can't see my face. Nobody can see my face and live. Seems like there's something a little bit fishy here. What you have to realize is the context. We read in verse 11, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." What kind of a face-to-face encounter did Moses have with God? It was as two friends looking at each other face to face. Moses' request down towards the end of chapter 11 is this. What's his request? He says, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." When was the last time you asked your friend, "Show me your glory"? This is a little bit more than a question that you would ask a friend. What is this word glory here? The word glory, it's a Hebrew word, kabod. It refers to abundance, splendor, riches, wealth, character. Another way to translate this is, "Show me your weight. Show me all of you." Moses is saying, "I want to see who you are in every way. I don't want to just see a part of you. I want to see all of you. Show me your glory." What kind of a heart does Moses have here? Moses has a heart to know God. He has a heart to pursue him like nothing else. "God, show me your glory. I want to see all of you." See, the difference between the face-to-face encounter earlier that Moses had with God and the face-to-face encounter that God says you can't have here because, man, you just can't handle it, is the difference between looking at somebody's eyes and looking into somebody's eyes. You understand what I'm saying? When you're hanging out with a friend, you don't look into their eyes. You make eye contact, right? You look at their eyes. But the moment you start looking into their eyes, they're like, hey, what do you think you're doing? Why are you looking at me like that? That's the way that you might look at your spouse, where you actually start to look into their eyes and you have this deep connection just through a look. God says, "You can't do that with me. You can't handle it. My goodness would consume you in the same way that his goodness would consume the people of Israel. You just can't see me in that way." But Moses was so bold. I wonder if sometimes we'd be willing to be a little bit more bold with God and say, "God, I want to see more of you." Anybody here wants to see more of God in their life? I believe God's just waiting for you to say, "God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory show up in my marriage. I want to see your glory show up in my household. I want to see your glory show up in my business, in my workplace. I want to see your glory." I believe that God is waiting for an invitation to say, "Show me your glory." And although God cannot fully show himself, listen to his response. I'll make my goodness pass before you. I can't show you my glory. I can't show you all of me. You can't handle that. You can't see that much goodness with two physical human eyeballs. That's how good God is. But here's what I'll do. I'll show you my goodness. I will be good to you. What does this have to do with anything? As we've been teaching through the goodness of God, I want us to draw to a close with this and understand that when you see the goodness of God, that you are, it is as if you are Moses standing on this rock with God's hand high, just hiding so that you can't see his fullness, but he lets you see a glimpse of his goodness as he walks by. I want to encourage you this morning that every time you experience God being good to you, it's as if he just walked through the room, saying, "God, show me your glory. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to know who you are." Moses as a request earlier was this: "Show me your ways so that I might know you. God, I want to know you." See, if your primary heart's desire is to just pursue the blessings that God wants to give you, then your motives are off. If you're seeking God just because you've heard that he'll heal your sick body, your motives are off. Now, our God is a healer, amen? That's who he is. But that's not why you seek him. See, you don't pursue a girl wanting to marry that girl because you heard that she makes really good filet mignon. Wrong motives. Wrong motives. You don't pursue somebody because of what they can do for you. You pursue them because you love them for who they are. Your pursuit of God must be not a request for God, where are the blessings? I want your blessings in my life. Your pursuit needs to be for him, that your hunger needs to be, God, show me your glory. And when you ask him to show you his glory, he'll be good to you. He'll bless you. And every goodness is just a reflection of him walking through the room, so that every time you see something manifest, you can respond and you can say, hey, God just walked through my house. You get blessed somehow. You say, I just saw God. He just walked through the room. Did you see him? Did you see him? You have a good conversation with someone that you had some ought against, and there was some friction and there was some tension, and all of a sudden there's reconciliation in the relationship. You can say, hey, God just showed up in this house. God just walked through here. You get a raise at work, and rather than patting yourself on the back and saying, good job on the job performance evaluation, you say, hey, God just walked through the room. He blessed me. You know why he blessed you? Because the word says that he ministers seed to the sower. He just gave you more seed to sow into different initiatives and ministries. And hey, don't worry, God will give you some more to use on yourself too. But every time you get a raise, you say, God, you blessed me. Where can I sow some of this? Where can I give? Where can I serve? Because your heart is not just to receive God's blessings. See, you know that you have a heart just to receive God's blessings when you really struggle to give in an offering, because you just want to keep all the blessings to yourself. But God wants to be good to you so that you can say, hey, thank you, God. I saw that you walked through my house. I saw that you walked through my workplace. I saw that you walked through my marriage. How can I serve you more? How can it be used by you more? So this is how this works. You seek him, you seek him, you seek him, he'll show you his goodness. You seek him, you seek him, you seek him, he'll restore your marriage. You seek him, you seek him, you seek him, he'll heal your sick body. You want to know how to get something from God? Don't try and get something from him, just seek him. Seek him. He knows your wants, he knows your desires, and you can pray them and you can declare for them and you need to believe for them, which we'll get there shortly. But your primary focus needs to be, God, I just want your glory. I don't want to go to the promised land without your presence. Don't send me there with an angel. I want you. I want you in my marriage. I want you in my family. I want you in my finances. You seek him and you put him first. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I wonder how many of us seek God with half a heart and we don't find anything. And we kind of scratch our heads and we say, God, what's going on here? God says, oh, you'll find me when you seek me with everything that you have. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I believe I need to say this to some specific people this morning. God is not hiding himself from you. God isn't hiding himself from you. Sometimes I believe that we start thinking that it's like God's hiding himself from us, and we think, well, God, if you're real, and if you love me, and if you're a good God, then why don't I see more of you active in my life? And we paint this picture of God. We have this terrible picture of God on our Etch-a-Sketch, and we think that he's this cruel God who's hiding himself from us. He's not hiding. The question is, are you seeking him? He says, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Every time. And if you're hungry for the truth, let me assure you this morning, you'll find it. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. We spend the majority of our lives worrying about things. Things. I need more money so that I can buy this thing, so that I could pay for my house, so that I could pay for my car. We think about the money that leads to the stuff, and we spend all this time worrying about things, and the call that Jesus gave was this, seek me first. Seek my kingdom first. And everything else is going to get taken care of. I'll take care of you. I'll give you everything that you need. I want to close with this, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Many of you have heard the first part of this verse, says this, without faith it is impossible to please God. God cannot be pleased without faith. And Jesus himself said, I always do those things that please the Father. Always. Which means that Jesus always walked by faith. And so maybe you've heard this verse before if you've been in church for any length of time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But not a lot of us read the rest of the verse, which says this: for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Did you know that God rewards those who seek him? See, it's just step one to believe that God exists. That's step one, that you believe that he exists. And you don't need much faith to believe that God exists. All you got to do is go look at a tree outside. That's proof positive that there is a God. Somebody put that there. And I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. And I don't care how sweet my great-great-great-grandfather was, he probably wasn't smart enough to figure it out, nor anybody before him. If you want to live by faith, you got to do two things. The book of Hebrews says you got to believe that he exists. That's step number one. That's a step to take. For some of us, it's a harder step than others, but that's the first step to take. The second step is this, that you actually have to believe that he rewards those who seek him. Did you know that you should expect God to reward you for seeking him? For you seeking him? Did you know that? Did you know that? Anybody? You're giving me nothing this morning. My voice is not as commanding as Marvin, so I understand that, this is a little dozy. My voice isn't as commanding. Did you know that you're actually supposed to believe and expect God to bless you? Did you know that that's not a sin? That he actually delights in rewarding people who seek him? Now, he doesn't want you to seek the reward. He wants you to seek him. But when you seek him, you say, God, I thank you that you're meeting this need. I thank you that you're blessing me where I have this desire over here. I thank you that you are the one who rewards me. And you're going to reward me. You're going to heal my sick body. You're going to provide for my finances. I'm not going to get worried about it. I'm just going to seek you. What is a reward? Simply put, it's God being good to you. I believe that God's good to me when I seek him. I believe that he is. Now, we studied earlier that the scriptures teach that God's actually good to everybody. He says that he causes it the sun to rise on all, that he rains, he brings rain. It rains on the just and the unjust, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. And so God is good to everyone. However, he's got some extra goodness in store for people who seek him. He's got extra blessings in store for people who pursue him and pursue his heart. And I'm here this morning to remind you that you need to not only believe in God, but you need to believe that he wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. He wants to be good to you. But the question that you have to ask yourself is, where is my heart at? Do I have a heart of Moses? Am I willing to go into the promised land with just being accompanied by an angel? Or will I demand for God's presence in my life? Say, listen, God, if you're not going where I'm currently going, I don't want to go there. Would you be willing to say, God, if you're not in my business, I'm closing the doors tomorrow? God, if you are not in this opportunity, I'm not going to consider it for another second. God, if this is not you, I'm not doing this. Would you be so bold as to ask God that question? Because listen, where God's presence is, that's where your blessing is. That's where your blessing is. It's wherever he is. I love this quote from Bono. He says, Bono, lead singer of U2. Anybody know Bono? Some of us, yeah. He said, so many of us as believers, we spend time asking for God to bless what we're doing. Why don't we go and find out what God's already blessed and just go do that? Isn't that profound from a rock and roll singer? Just find what God's already blessed, because if something's already blessed, you just need to go there and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be taken care of in your life. When God's presence goes with you, his blessing goes with you too. I want us to develop an attitude of expectancy when it comes to the goodness of God. You know, Oral Roberts started saying something that he said for years and years and years. He'd start his broadcast with it. He'd preach it everywhere he went. He'd say, something good is going to happen to you today. You ever heard him say that? Something good is going to happen to you today. I want you to develop that expectancy in your heart. Every day you wake up, something good's going to happen to me today. God, you're going to be good to me. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have struggles. It means that I believe that every day God's going to be good to me. You say, well, Pastor Tim, how can you know that to be true? I'll tell you why. Psalm 23, verse 6 says this, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That includes today. Every single day, God's goodness and mercy follows me. Some translations of this verse say, only goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And listen to that next verse. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember where Moses was going into? He was going into the tent of meeting. He was going where the presence of God was. Now you and I, because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we don't have to set up a tent in our backyard to go meet with God. You don't have to, because God lives in you. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, God lives in you. And so you carry his presence with you wherever you are. And this is one of those verses to set your faith on and to make a declaration that today goodness is going to follow me. Today goodness is going to follow me. So when you wake up in the morning and you know that you have that stressful meeting that you have to walk into at work, you say, God, your goodness is going to follow me. Your blessing is going to follow me into that conversation. Your anointing is going to be with me. Your presence is going to be with me. And I'm not going to be the only one to notice your goodness. It's going to affect the environment around me. Notice that all the camp was worshiping when Moses went into the presence of God. Everybody was affected by the presence of God. Your presence in your cubicle ought to shift the atmosphere in your company. Your presence there, because you carry God's presence with you. And so this is going to be our declaration. God's goodness follows me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, God's goodness is with me, and his goodness manifests all around me. Whatever need that I have, God's goodness is going to meet that need. And I'm going to make it my aim to seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seekness, and his goodness will find out. God, show me your glory. He'll say, well, I appreciate your bold request, but here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to let my goodness pass before you. You're going to see my goodness in your life. Could anybody handle to see a little bit more of the goodness of God in their life? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, good. I'm excited to see more of God's goodness manifest in my life. And that doesn't make me selfish. That doesn't make me prideful. That just makes me aware of who my God is. He wants to be good to me. He wants to be good to me. I go around with an attitude that I'm one of God's favorites. I put that expectancy in me that God loves me so much. He treats me with special favoritism. Now, I know he doesn't, and that's bad theology, but I tell myself that to remind myself that even though I've done things that I'm not proud of, and even though I have a past that I'm not proud of, that God loves me, and his blood has washed me clean, and I have an opportunity to live a new life where his goodness is going to be good to me all the days of my life. Every day that I wake up, God's going to be good to me. It doesn't matter what the enemy shoves in my face. We laugh at him. Say, it's okay. You can bring what you want. God's going to be good to me. God's goodness is going to take care of this. God's goodness is going to take care of whatever the enemy puts in your path. So you choose to put your faith in God's goodness rather than in Satan's badness. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Everything else will be added unto you. Let's stand together. God, I thank you this morning that you are not harsh with us, that you are not offended at us when we make bold requests before you. Lord, I thank you that we can come into your presence and ask big things, and you don't push us to the side. That we could say, God, show me your glory. I want to see more of you. I want to experience more of you. And you don't get offended. You respond with your goodness. You respond with your kindness. You respond with your love and with your blessings and your mercy. So, Lord God, we just take hold of every blessing that you have in store for us. God, we take hold of every reward that you have in store for us, Lord. And we're not serving you for the blessing, but we are aware that you have a desire to be good to us. So, Lord, I thank you that you have a full awareness of every need that is in this place this morning. You have a full awareness of every sickness that is in this place this morning. You have a full awareness of every financial need, every relational need that is in this place this morning. And God, I am believing that as they set their face to seek you, you will be good to them and bless them. Lord God, we thank you. We make it our aim to seek your kingdom this morning. We thank you for your blessing upon us as we go. We thank you, Father, for your blessing upon World Impact Bible Institute. Lord God, thank you for your blessing upon Marvin and Anna Enos. Lord God, that your goodness and mercy would follow them, Lord God, everywhere that they go, everywhere that they serve you, Lord God, and that every student that is touched through their ministry, Lord God, would carry that goodness everywhere that they go. Lord God, we pray your blessing over them. We plead the blood of Jesus over their ministry. We thank you, Lord God, for protecting them, Father, from attacks of the enemy and attacks of the government and attacks of those who would want to work against them, Lord God. And that your presence is with them in Thailand. That your presence fills their Bible school. That your presence overflows their household, Lord God. Thank you for your anointing upon their ministry, Lord God. Thank you for your anointing upon us as we go. We bless your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.